Oh, I almost forgot. These are for you, Goosey.
Kid gloves. The first she's ever worn.
Oh, you're quite a lady, Molly. Oh, if your mother could see you.
Phoebe.
But she has the look of her, though, doesn't she?
Try not to spoil the good humour.
Molly's mother's lain these 9 years in the parish churchyard. The doctor's never taken a second wife, despite Miss Phoebe's prayers.
You'll carry her back when it's all over.
I wish you could come.
I can't imagine a worse prospect. No, ladies only.
And your father has his rounds.
Aye, my patients won't wait even for a countess.
A large practice. The local gentry, town and country folk, even the apprentices of the cotton mill.
Listen!
That's it! Oh, quick!
Rolling up the winding street, the Earl's coach, picking up the Hollingford ladies four at a time.
Oh, splendid, the driver, isn't he? In his livery.
Oh, well, Mrs. Goodenough. A fine day for a trip to the towers.
I said it should be. Red sky at night, you know.
In between us, Molly.
But sit forward, child, or crush me in your dresser.
Goodbye, Papa.
Enjoy yourself, Goosey.
Through the town in the glittering carriage, the women gossiping all the way.
The son of a duke, my dear. Never mind which side of the blanket he was born on.
And we paid only 3 shillings and 4 pence a pound.
I saw her over the window blind, bold as brass she was.
My maxim is this. Women should mind what they're about and not be talked of. And if a woman's talked of, the less her friends have to do with her, the better.
And now they're in sight of the towers.
They call those steps a perron, I believe.
All so very grand. Molly half wishes herself at home again.
Come on, my dear.
Molly holds Miss Phoebe's hand very tight as they loiter about.
Oh, such a view.
Walls and fence covered with climbing roses.
Delightful.
Honeysuckles bursting into bloom.
Smell that, Molly.
A glittering range of hothouses.
We'll go in and see the orchids.
Come on, Molly.
One of the Countess's daughters shows the party the collection. The rarity of this, the mode of cultivation required by that, until Molly begins to feel very tired, and then a little faint. What a terrible thing it would be to fall against one of the stands of precious flowers. She catches at Miss Dorothy's hand.
May I go back out into the garden?
Oh, to be sure. I dare say it is hard understanding for you, but it's very fine and instructive, and a deal of Latin in it too.
Thank you.
With no more thought as to her whereabouts than a butterfly as it skims from flower to flower, she goes along. Now, weary, wanting to return to the house, but not knowing how. Where is it? Where are the Miss Brownings? The hot sun tells upon her head, aching. She finds shelter in the darkness under a spreading cedar tree.
This.
Two ladies. One very grand. The Countess herself, though Molly doesn't know it.
It's a child, is it?
The other, the most beautiful person Molly's ever seen.
Oh, poor little darling.
She belongs to some of the Hollingford people, no doubt, and has lost herself.
Oh, she's overcome by the heat. Such a heavy straw bonnet, too. Let me untie it for you, my dear.
Have you had anything to eat, child? She looks a very white little thing.
No.
We'll bring you something before you try to walk back to the house.
We'll not be long.
Don't go away.
Come along, Hester.
And off they go. Molly sits up very straight, waiting. And soon the pretty lady comes back with a small tray.
Look how kind Lady Cumnor is. She chose this little lunch herself. And now you must try to eat it, and you'll be quite right when you've had some food, darling.